Excuse me. Good morning and welcome to all of you. Good to see the visitors here as well. And maybe Dale did that, I don't know, but maybe because it's his family, he overlooked it. But anyway, we're glad to see you here today to worship with us. I've chosen to talk about memorials and remembering today. As a thought of Monday in a week, tomorrow in a week is Memorial Day, and that is in the U.S. we remember those that have died in service in protecting of our country. And so I thought of that, I thought of other memorials that we think about, and communion coming up next Sunday evening as well. That's a memorial. And so I decided to talk about that today. There are many memorials in our lives as we go through life, that things that we do well to remember and to think about. For you that are married, you think of your marriage, and even going back beyond that, it could be your conversion when you were saved, when you gave your life to Jesus. That can be a memorial, your baptism, and there are many other things as well. A memorial is serving as a remembrance, anything meant to help people remember a person, event, etc., as a monument. As you go, if you travel to Washington, D.C., and you visit the different memorials that are there, they are there representing something, some event, something that took place, or some person. And so it helps us to remember. And so why is it important to remember? Well, we all know that it's easy to forget. We forget so many things. And age doesn't help that at all. But it's not necessarily age that does that. I hear many of you younger ones that you say the same thing. You say, wow, you can't remember things either like you used to. Now there are dates and there are events in my life that go back 40 years or more, and I can tell you the day, at least a year, of things that have happened. But sometimes I can't remember the yesterday, what I did. The other day, I forgot to write down some of the things I did for work. And so yesterday, I looked and I saw the spot was partly blank. And so I tried to recall, what did I do actually? I know what I did, but I don't remember how much I did. And so I had to do some thinking and calculating. And again, so how soon... we're so busy and our minds are so wrapped up with so many different things that we forget. And so God knew that when He made us. And so as He dealt with His children, the children of Israel, in their journey, He had them do things for memorials, simply as a reminder, a memory of when people ask, what's this mean? Then you can tell them. And so memories, memorials, there's usually a story behind it and something that's of interest. And I realize some people don't probably think that's important, the past and history, but I believe it is because I think what happens in the past and what history would have us to what we can learn from history, it will help us in our future as well. And so we dare not ignore that. The first memorial that I would like to look at is found in Exodus 3. And if you care to, you can turn to that. It's Exodus 3, 13 through 15. And this is the account of Moses, God calling Moses to lead the children of Israel. And how that he rebelled against what God was trying to ask him to do. And it says, and Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And God said moreover unto Moses, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, The Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, hath sent me unto you. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. And so we see that God said his name, that this is the I am. This is my name forever, and this is my memorial unto all generations. When we talk of God, and when he talks about I am, there is no one else to compare him to, and he is who he is. He is who he is. He is God. The next one I want to look at is Joshua 4:7. It's a quite familiar account there of the children of Israel fleeing Egypt, coming to the Red Sea, the Jordan River in their journey. What God told them to do there in verse 7. I probably should read a few more verses before that. I think I'll start at verse 1 and read through verse 7. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean you by these stones? Then you shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. And the waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Okay, it was actually before they were entering into the land of Canaan, when they crossed the river there. And so, you can imagine how many years later there would be these pile of stones. And I'm assuming they would be fair sized, because he said, put them on your shoulder. So they weren't just little rocks. And they would make some kind of a monument. And the children would come by and say, Well, what are these? Maybe there aren't any stones out there. And all of a sudden there's a pile of stones. And so they could tell them the story behind that and remind them of what God has done for them and how that he delivered them. Then I'll look at the next one in Matthew 26, verse 13. Again, a very familiar account, a memorial. And this is the lady that, as Jesus, again, I think I'll just read this rather than tell it, starting with verse 6 in Matthew 26. Now when Jesus was in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment, and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. But when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, To what purpose is this waste? For this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. When Jesus understood it, he said unto them, Why trouble ye the woman? For she hath wrought a good work unto me. For ye have the poor always with you, but me ye have not always. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this, that this woman hath done, be told for a memorial of her. Again, something that reminds us again of what Jesus did for us. And this lady, the love that she had for Jesus, in simply, did she know what she was doing? I'm not sure she did or not, necessarily. But she was directed by God, I believe, to do that. And her love for Jesus, and she did this wonderful thing for him. So this brings me to our text in Luke 22, verse 7 through 20. I want to read those verses. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when a Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat." And they said unto him, "Where wilt thou that we prepare?" And he said unto them, "Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And you shall say unto the goodman of the house, 'The master saith unto thee, where is the guest chamber, where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready." They went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down with the 12 apostles with him. And he said unto them, "With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come." And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave it unto them. "This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new testament in my blood, which is shed for you." What I want to focus on is verse 19. "This do in remembrance of me." This is a memorial. So when we take part in the communion service, we are doing this as a memorial to God, as a memory of what Jesus did for us and that he did so much. And the bread simply shows us that his broken body and how that he was broken and willing to be broken for us, for you and I, so that in our place. Paul refers to this as in 1 Corinthians 11:26. I'm not going to turn to that, but many times we use that in communion time. And he goes through the communion service, and it's a feast of remembrance. Again, it's a remembering of what has happened. It's, how could you ever forget? How could I ever forget what Jesus did? Well, I think it would be pretty difficult, really. But again, for the for the real significance of what Jesus did, I guess, is probably what we tend to forget. Maybe not the actual act. We think about that. If you read God's Word daily, we are reminded, because all the writers, it's woven within Scripture from beginning to end about. In the Old Testament is predicting Jesus' birth and coming and being a Savior and what's going to happen. And in the New Testament, Jesus is leading up to that, and then he's telling us what's going to happen, and then it happens. And so if you read the Bible, then you will be reminded. It can be no other way. But just in our daily business and so on, we tend to forget the significance of really what took place and what happened and why it happened. And so it's a feast of remembrance. We think of the Passover back in the Old Testament when the children of Israel were trying to get out of Egypt, and how that the Pharaoh would not let them go, and how that the plagues that God sent on the people of Egypt to try to persuade them, and yet their heart was hardened, and they wouldn't let them go. And this was a final straw of what God brought out when he brought the death angel out and killed the firstborn of each family in the Egyptians. And God told Moses, and he told the children of Israel, that they should take a lamb and kill it and put the blood over the doorpost and down the side post, so that when the death angel comes by, He will see the blood and he will pass over, and no one there will have to die. But it couldn't just be any kind of lamb. It couldn't just be the lamb that, oh well, this lamb won't bring much at the market, so we'll use it for this. No, that wouldn't do. It had to be the lamb that probably would bring the best price at market. Probably maybe it was the lamb that the family had as a pet. The one that was a special lamb. It was perfect. It was didn't have any blemishes or any blots. That's what God required of this lamb. And so it was a lamb that really meant a lot to the family. It was costly to them. And probably the children would say, no, Dad, let's not use this lamb. This is our pet. But then again, if you were there, had you been the firstborn in that family, how would you view the significance of this? This would have been a much greater significance than it does to us as such, because it meant life or death for someone in your family, one of your children, the oldest one. And so realizing that is like, sure, we will give this lamb, whatever the best one, pet or not. Whether it costs us a lot, we'll lose a lot of money because it could bring us a lot of money that we need to pay bills. But no, we'll sacrifice it because we want to save life. So Jesus, the Lamb of God, in 1 Corinthians 5, 7, and you hear the term Paschal Lamb, and I can't find it in the Scripture, so I don't think it's a biblical term as far as in the Bible. But it is a term that is used to, and it talks about the Paschal Lamb at the Passover, and it's the only thing I could really find in a definition was it's connected to Passover. It didn't tell me much. It's a lamb connected, of course, but it's also referred then to Christ being the Paschal Lamb as a sacrifice for humankind as well. Peter refers to that, or Paul, in 1 Corinthians 5, 7. The last part of that verse, he talks about even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. And then John, when he saw John coming and approaching, this is John the Baptist in John 1, 29. Remember what he said? He said, when Jesus was approaching, he said, there's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so it's referring to a lamb that is connected to the Passover. It's a special lamb. It's not just any lamb. And so for whatever that's worth. And so we think of the bread, and the bread is broken. And I like what it says here. Understand in history back in that time, it was probably a cake of bread that he's talking about, not a loaf. And it was very common to take that. And you remember when Jesus fed the 4,000 and then the 5,000, and what he did with the bread, it says he blessed it and then he broke it. And I guess that was a common practice back then, is breaking the bread and giving it out that way. And I think that's interesting in how that this is what they talk about here. And in our day, the bread that we use would be in a loaf and it would be cut with a knife. Is there any significance in that? I don't know, except that possibly when you break it, it crumbles and it takes all those different fibers that make this loaf or this cake, and it tears them apart rather than cutting through them. I don't know if there's significance in that or not. But again, it is significant that Christ's body was, Isaiah prophesied that his body would be bruised in Isaiah 53, verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. The Amplified adds a few extra words in there to clarify, and I'm going to read it with that. But he was wounded for our transgressions, are needful to obtain. He was bruised for our iniquities, our guilt and iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed and made whole. The wounds that he suffered. And so, again, there's significance between the bread and his body, and being bruised, being torn apart, and being, and then the cup. Also, it says that he gave them the cup. He said, drink all of it. And I think they would say that probably he meant, pass it around. All of you drink some of it. Not just one drink at all. And then the cup, the juice, again, is symbolic of Christ's shed blood as well. And so, and for children, this is a good thing for children. I can remember as far back as I can remember, however far that is. I don't know what my youngest age would be when I can remember a communion service. But we've been taught, we've been heard, we've saw it, and we know what it symbolizes. And so for our children as well, it's a memorial that they understand what it's for, why we do it. It's not just a ritual, but it's a meaningful memorial to remember again the Christ's suffering and his death, what he went through and why he did it. He did it to save us from our sins. There was no other way, that there was no one else that was without spot or blemish that could do what Jesus did. And so Jesus was willing to do that for us. To give us, to take away our sin, and to remove our sin, and to set us free from the bondage of sin, and so that we can have a relationship with God. And not only that, not in this life only, but we can have the hope of future in God's kingdom. We can spend eternity with him. So, we do it in remembrance. We observe the Lord's Supper as a memorial, in remembrance of what Jesus' sacrifice accomplished for us. As you go through this next week, and as you contemplate, and as you check your life, and as you, again, go through in your mind, over in your mind, some of the circumstances, some of the things that Jesus went through, I know that if you go into detail, you can paint a pretty a bloody picture, really, of what Jesus suffered, the way his body would have looked, and so on, because he willingly did that for us. And so we do that as a remembrance, as a memorial. So let's not forget the meaning of that, the significance of it. It means all the world to us, that we can experience that. And we can do that together with brothers and sisters and encourage each other in that. Do we have a song? 922 in Faith and Praise. When you find that, you can stand. Thank you, Father, again this morning for your presence, and thank you for your Spirit, and thank you for all that you have done and do for us. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to be our Savior, and thank you that he gave us a reason and gave us a recipe to remember what he did for us so that we never forget. I pray that God, again, help us that we would humbly bow before you as we remember your suffering and your death. But we rejoice in that your resurrection as well, that you are alive and that you will die no more. We thank you that you're preparing a place for us. We thank you for that. Today, we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world, wherever they are today, those that are suffering physically, for their faith in you. I pray that you would be help them to be strong and to stand true to the end. And I pray that you would help us, God, that we would be steadfast in our faith to you as well here, in the things that come our way, in the tests that we face. Help us, God, to never forget what you did for us. May you bless each person as we go through this week. God, may you be honored. May you receive glory from all that we say or do. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. That's what we sing.